anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Tonight. Well, this is Max and Friends Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing for another night of Max and Friends? Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are listening, because I know we've got people from Malaysia, India, Colorado, all over the globe. The shift is happening, and I'm glad you're tuning in, because we've been talking about this shift. You know, 11-11-11 is coming up, and those are my numbers. So are you ready for this shift, you guys? Are you ready that your life is going to change to be this magnificent thing that I know you all want, because I get your emails. I just am so happy tonight. For all, you know, I've been here almost 4 years now, and no other show really has gotten me this excited, because I know this one's for you, for my listeners. We're going to help you shift your life. We're going to help you empower your life. We're going to help you change your life. Not that it's bad, but just because I want you guys to be in this flow of amazingness, this flow of love, this flow of goodness, this flow of gratitude, this flow of appreciation. The one thing that I've learned is that what God really loves is appreciation. So it's within us to be appreciative. I'm appreciative tonight because my guest that's coming on in just a moment, Sky Sheridan, well, he is the man who has written this amazing book called The Seven Shifts. You've heard me talk about it before. I carry it on my, I always, whenever I'm traveling through the airport, check out delta.com. I always have my carry-on, and I keep the book tucked in the pocket of the outside of the bag, so that when, you know, People Magazine shoots me, they're like, how you doing? They always point to little books. I'm always like, I'm going to be in People one day with the seven shifts sticking out. You remember, it was like Oprah's secret. Well, the seven shift is more powerful. Talks about the secret, touches up on it. But Sky has got an amazing story. At 4 years old, he had a near-death experience because he got electrocuted. He bit into an electric cord, got the scar on the lip. It's in the book. Check that out. Also, check out calltocreate.com, because that's his site, the number two, calltocreate.com. His mother named him Sky because live life with no limits, obviously. That's how we live here with Max and Friends. We take life to the max, don't we? He was raised by dolphins at an early age. His mother had a drug addiction and was unstable, left him in foster care. He became a Mormon. He then left to go live in Italy and all over the world and became a model. He left Mormonism, and then he wanted to explore more things in life, ended up in an ashram and studied yoga. He's so fascinating. He's got like this who's who biography. Well, he's here tonight, and we're not going to talk anymore about who he is, because we've got him here. So let him talk about himself. Sky, welcome to Max and Friends. I'm so glad you're here, and namaste, my friend.
Max, oh my gosh, namaste to you, and thank you so much for that awesome, I just like that, let it shine, let's let our light shine tonight. I love it. It's so powerful.
Oh, isn't that the best? And that girl can sing, too.
Whew, I felt it. I was touching my heart, for sure. Just my gratitude for having me on the show tonight, Max. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Listen, it's my honor, because I believe that your book is going to set lives free tonight. We've all day, we've been promoting it on Twitter, on Facebook. Everybody's been responding. We've had international responses that people are like, I want to tune in. I want part one of the shifting. So tonight is our part one series. Sky's going to be back next Sunday, everybody. And we're going to talk about the shifting that's going to take place in our lives. And the time is now, people. And Sky, why is the time now to shift into this momentum of glory?
Well, right now on the planet, there's just a lot going on. Obviously, we all see on Facebook and we see what's going on in the world with Occupy Wall Street. And we're really learning to awaken to what's going on within us. You know, I think there's just everywhere you turn on the TV, you see commercials, movies, books. Everywhere we go, it's just people learning about themselves, learning to tune into their inner wisdom. And that's really what this time is about. There's an energy awakening on the planet right now. We're becoming more connected than ever. We have technology at our fingertips now that is uniting us in ways that we never could have imagined before. And we're really releasing our, you know, creative capacity, which is what I'm doing with Call to Create, is telling people how creative they can be and to really step into the creative power. And it's really not anything that I'm helping people shift. It's more that they're helping them shift. You know, this is already going to happen. We're
the
all
internal
just
shift.
Bringing... Yeah, exactly. So,
but you know what? It's good when there's something like Call to Create and your book, The Seven Shifts, where we get that. You know, it's like when a battery in a car dies and you get those jumper cables. And Call to Create is the one jumper cable, and The Seven Shifts is the other jumper cable. And when you put them two on that battery, you got that life. And
Spark
what
tonight.
Did you create, Call to Create?
It actually came to me in a dream, believe it or not. I was flying down to Puerto Vallarta on a flight, and I was just dozing off. And, a lot of things in my life have been very ethereal, and it just came to me, like, the name came to me. You're called to create. And I just thought to myself, man, that is so powerful. If we could all just step into our creative power, we'd really be doing the divine work on this planet that we, you know, need to be doing. And so that's really where the name came from.
Well, the name came from that wonderful dream that you had. And then you have this book. Was the book part of the dream, or was that another dream, The Seven Shifts?
Well, the book kind of came in its own right. You know, I believe that we're all led, and every step of the way, if you really and tune into your self-power and you understand that there is a higher intelligence and higher power kind of guiding our steps and doing this dance, you can really learn and see what happens. So in my own steps, I was led to the editor-in-chief at Simon & Schuster, who just found my life fascinating. And I really never felt my own life was fascinating. I'm kind of shy when it comes to that stuff. But he said, hey, you need to put your life out there on the line. People need to hear where you came from. And, you know, the biggest things came up for him was he was a major in psychology. And he said, you should be incarcerated. You should be impoverished. You should be addicted to drugs. You know, you really are such a I never saw myself as this sort of miracle, really. But, you know, when I started to review my life, I thought, okay, I guess, you know, you're right. So he kept asking these questions. Where did you get to this place? How did you get to this place where you were able to survive a lot of this stuff? And I said, well, you know, I didn't survive it. I thrive. And these are sort of the things that I thrive on.
Yeah.
And that's what
well, you could have become. You could become an easy, easy product of your environment. I mean, clearly with such a history that you've had, to see someone like you, it's unbelievable because you didn't choose that. You know, you're not the product of your environment. You've chosen to reach higher, to be pulled towards divineness, and it grasped you. Now, let's talk about your book, The Seven Shifts, because people are already tweeting me that they are so excited to be listening. And the book, obviously, everyone, The Seven Shifts, you can get it on Amazon.com, correct?
Yes, you can.
So
and you can also
get
go to the website at www.calltocreate.com/theSevenShifts. You know, so you can go there as well.
There's a bunch of places where you can go get it. The point is, go
Absolutely.
Get it. But tonight,
go get it.
We're going to give you... You know, there's nothing like they say that the power of sound, once it's said, goes on forever. So I want that tonight to be the concept of this show. I want you guys listening tonight and girls listening tonight to get ready for your life to change for the better. You will be empowered tonight. Tune in, listen carefully, take a breath, let it go, relax. And let's get into this point where we're going to be right now, where we're going to be able to talk to you about these seven shifts. Tonight is part one of shifting your life. We're going to talk about three shifts tonight, everyone. So get your paper and pencils ready. I feel like this is Oprah's life class. This is Max's life class with Sky Sheridan, our special guest tonight, and the seven shifts. Are you guys ready? Because the first shift is going to rock your world. When I read this book and the first shift, I was death came at a very young age to me with my father dying when I was 8 years old. So the first shift, when I read this, blew my mind. Sky, let's get into this. Let's help these people break this bondage, take the shackles off their feet so they can dance and get into the shift that they should be in. What's your first
Absolutely.
Shift?
Absolutely. The first shift is accept death, okay? And this is one that scares the heck out of all of us. Death is not easy for anyone. But the one thing we have to all really grapple with, we have to grapple with our own deaths, we have to grapple with things that we're losing around us, loss of relationship, loss of our health, loss of, you know, we've all experienced some sort of lack and a death in a way. So if you can kind of mine your own life for things that have died, you can really begin to sort of uncover beyond the physical, you know, and that's really what the first shift is all about. We have this physical experience and it's going to go away. So what's beyond that? And that's what really my near-death experience helped me realize, is that there was something beyond this just physical sort of matrix hologram that we're kind of experiencing every day. It seems so real. Our five senses tell us it's real. But there really is a presence beyond death. And if we can accept death, we really can accept life. And that's the big issue for me, is just understanding that things die every day. We watch them die. Our cells die every day. You know what I mean? It's such a natural part of living. So our consciousness, for some reason, we've been raised to think that death is this bad thing, but we really need to make death a friend. And the more we make death a friend, the easier it is to live life to its fullest.
Live life to the fullest. Live life to the max. I love that you're...
Yeah, live life to the max, indeed.
Is nothing is taken away, only transformed.
That's exactly. I was just speaking to a woman today. She just lost her husband. And, you know, I just really had to hold her and just tell her, listen, you haven't lost anybody, you know. You've only transformed this relationship you had with your husband. And I know there's people out there listening who have had relationships before where they've lost somebody. And, you know, I lost my mother at a very early age. And the first thing I had was this special connection after she left. There was this other side of her that I got to experience. It was the side of her that was part of me. It was the side of her that was part of every cell of my body, every word of love that I spoke to her. And you were talking about the power of words. Words are so powerful. They're sounds. Sound heals. You know, and we really have to understand that these people who die in our lives aren't gone. We carry them with us. You know, we carry them forward with us in life. We bring their whole essence with us. And if we lose sight of that, we really lose sight of who we are, and we lose sight of our power of connection, which is the connection that we have with each other and also our loved ones who passed on, who are still part of us.
They are. Well, speaking of people who are part of us, we've got people who are listening right now, and they're Facebook me now. So hi to Maureen in Sarasota, Florida, and hi to Cindy in Colorado. But listen, I've got to tell you, Sky, there's a very interesting concept that you have, which is the illusion of separation, the veil of time. So yeah. How does this original sin that we've heard that death is a bad thing and that we're all going to be condemned, and the I am, if we are too pride, it becomes a handicap in our life. How do we rid all of that into this almost perfection flow?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is to stop for a moment and really get a grapple on who we are and what we are, because, you know, we're more than the five senses. And I'm going to talk a lot about this probably, because, you know, really we're so entrenched in, from the moment we get up in the day to the second we go to bed, we're just so entrenched in our five senses, which is like your taste, touch, smell, sight, hearing, all that stuff. And it feels very real, but the best way to sort of experience death right away is to close your eyes, to stop for a moment, and like you said before, breathe, take a nice big breath, and really get into your body and really get into your mind. Close your eyes for a moment. Let the senses fade away. Feel what it feels like to just surrender all of the outer presence for a moment and really get into tune with the life flow, the I am presence. You know, there's the ego, which is the five senses. And the ego is very helpful. I don't think that banishing the ego is really the, you know, we don't have to do that. We can totally work with the ego and make it a positive thing. But really, the I am presence, the divine presence that connects us with everything, is really what we can tune into whenever we need to. Whenever we feel hurt or afraid or scared, we just need to stop and breathe, stop and connect with the greater part of ourselves. And then when we wake back up, we come back into the ego, which is the I, and the I can function in the world of I and me and all that, and that's great. But that I is going to die. That I is going to transform at some point. You know, you're not the same person you were when you were 10 years old, max, you know. So it's like we have such an easy time letting go of a lot of that. But why do we have such a hard time letting go of people and things and beliefs? The accept death part really, for me, helped so much when I got to examine my beliefs. And that's a really big part of the death process as well. What beliefs can we die to that aren't serving us anymore? You know, really examine your beliefs. What do I believe about this world? What do I believe about myself? what is the dialogue that I'm having with this world? What is the dialogue I'm having with myself? What can I let go of? And what can I bless and just say, you know what, go ahead and die a peaceful death, and you've served your purpose, and it's time for me to believe new things. And that's really where the accept death comes from. It's just accepting death as a friend. It's such a great thing. Death serves its purpose on this world, you know. Every day, the world is in constant flux. If you look at nature and if you spend time in nature, things die so gracefully. There's no struggle, and it's just such a natural process. It's the human mind that really hasn't grappled with this thing, death, yet. But if you go in, like I said before, to the I Am presence, death is not even really an issue. It's actually part of life, and it's totally cyclical.
Well, you know, speaking of life, Scott, there's a lot of people who have this question, and you touch up on it in your book. You write about it. And it's the question I think that a lot of people ask. And I know I get tons of emails from listeners saying, why did I come here? Why did we come here, Sky?
Oh, the quintessential questions, of course. You know, these are the questions that are on everyone's mind at some point or other. And that is, you know, where do we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? And these are actually the reason why they're the questions we all ask is because they're the most essential questions to fulfilling our purpose on this planet and our purpose as a consciousness. So, you know, we did come here to expand and to also explore. And those are two words that I use a lot in the book. You know, we came here to explore possibility. So death is one of those possibilities, and the more we push it away or run away from it, the less we're exploring it. So it's good to really integrate death, and that's also about the exploration process. And then we also came here to expand. We came here to expand our consciousness. We came here to expand our creative capacity. And death also helps us with that because we can't move on, we can't change, we can't expand unless we die to certain things that are no longer serving us. You know, a lot of things can create shackles in our life, and we have to release those shackles if we want to become the joyful, abundant, beautiful beings that we are, and that's what we are, and we can only do that if we're connected. So the original sin idea is that we are separated, and we're so not separated, and if we are separated, then death really does become sort of something that's scary, because then we come back into that ego present, right? Like, I'm separate, I have to defend my identity, I have to defend all of my beliefs, I have to defend this life that I have for, you know, 60 to 80 years, and I really have to cling to it. And death really helps us release our grip on that material and really get more into the spirit of the matter, which is the heart of the matter, which is totally what's so important and brings so much more value to your living.
Well, speaking of living, you know, every day we're confronted with our conscious. So what exactly is our conscious for those of our listeners tonight who are trying to pencil this down and write this down and figure this all out? And how do we get it into the consciousness and leave it into the subconsciousness and live with it day by day?
Yeah, consciousness, that's just such a big word, right, for a lot of people. What is consciousness? Well, it's beyond the mind, for sure. You know, the mind thinks. And we definitely, in the age of reason and the age of industrialism, we have dissected everything and we've made everything linear and grid-like and we've gotten, you know, everything explained. But consciousness really is so much bigger than that. Consciousness is sort of the I that is thinking, but it's also the greater I Am presence that's part of all consciousness, which is, you know, it depends on what you believe, and I respect everyone's belief, but I have literally in nature felt consciousness through plants, mineral energy, animal energy, and, you know, you really communicate on so many other levels beyond the mind. And if you really tap into the more subtle levels of your mind, the consciousness is really all about awareness. It's just being aware of this moment. It's just being aware of life. It's being aware of the flow that you're in. It's being aware of the actual molecules and atoms and energy around you. It's being aware of the cells in your body. There's so much that we're not aware of, but if we tune our awareness to these subtleties, we can really begin to understand the greater intelligence that's really going on within us and also all around us. And that really is what consciousness is all about. It's just awakening to the intelligence that is sort of greater than just the I presence that we interact with every day in our mind.
You know, when you also awaken to appreciation, I think that's when your consciousness absorbs the wonderful things in life. When you could walk down the beach, the street, the this, that, and you see and you appreciate things and you are grateful and thankful for trees and water and air and clean air and all these wonderful things, I think your consciousness becomes a clearer vibe, that gets you into that flow of gratitude, that flow of appreciation. And I know for myself, you know, I'm in that flow right now of waking up every morning and I say thank you at least a million times. I'm just like, thank you for everything. And I think that's the flow that we need to be in right now of gratitude and appreciation. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Best way to get what you want in life is to just start saying thank you. Thank you to everything in your life that you already have. You know, it's thank you is like saying yes to stuff on the banquet table. You know, thank you is, and it also just feels good. You know, Max, when you get up in the morning and you say thank you to stuff, it just feels good to be aware of what's in your life. Thank you for this health in my body. I feel strong today. Thank you. You know, it's just like being aware of what you're creating, really. And that's what the consciousness is. The consciousness is just the creation process. It's just being able to focus on something and bring more of that into your life and to really vibrate on that level and tune into that frequency. So when you tune into the frequency of water and trees and all the things that are really bringing you joy in your life, you're really saying thank you. You're amplifying it. You know, you're saying yes to it. You're saying, I want more of this. And it just, it feels good. You know, really, at the end of the day, I don't think there's not one person that's listening right now who has never said thank you and just hasn't felt amazing, you know? So it's a great practice, for sure.
You know, and I think we have to say thank you to ourselves, because a lot of time we give so much credit to so many other people and thank so many other people, but very seldomly do we thank ourselves. Very seldomly do we know ourselves. So how can we explain to our listeners tonight that phrase, known thyself and behold, the kingdom of God is within, without getting all religious and freaking people out? How can you simplify it to get into that flow where people can understand it?
Yeah, behold, the kingdom is within. One of the greatest, I mean, you know, religion is actually at its heart is probably leading everyone to their greater path. If they could just get out of the way with all of the rules and regulations and the control structures that religion have brought into it. You know, religion at its heart is so beautiful because it really does guide us to say thank you and to appreciate our connection with other people and to really get into the spirit and of our hearts, you know, which is so important. And you know, that's really simply the best way to get into the fulfillment of living is to get into your heart and to get into the spirit of loving. And that's, I think, the message behind this material that's come through me and the message that I try to live on a daily basis is that unconditional love comes from within. It doesn't come from outside of us. If we look outside of ourselves for love, we're just going to reflect the need for love anywhere we go. So really, if we begin to start bringing the unconditional love out to our own hearts, the whole world becomes transformed. Everything becomes loving. Death, you know, becomes loving. You suddenly realize the death process is not some punishment. It's not some test that we have to get over. Life is not some test that we have to achieve these goals and then climb up the ladder to heaven, you know. Life is a gift. Look around. Look within your own being. Look at every breath that you're taking. You're alive, for heaven's sakes. You know what I mean? The fact that you're even breathing is such a gift in itself. And so just love it. Just love it all. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And that's the fastest way to transform your life at any point. You know, don't even worry about the shifts. The single most message I could leave with anybody in my life is just love yourself. Love your life. Bring love to anything that you possibly can, and you'll just watch the whole thing just light up.
Well, you know what I love? There's what I love, speaking of the word love, is you write, love never dies. It is the energy in motion, emotion, that is eternal and omnipresent vibration of the cosmos. Get into detail
sure
with
is.
That.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, scientists, and I also like to come from a very scientific place because there's a part of me that's very, you know, spiritual and airy-fairy, as a lot of my friends like to call it, but there's also a part of me that's very logical. So it's good to understand that, you know, there's energy. It's all around us. We feel it. We have these emotions, right? We get sad. We get happy. And so we clearly understand the vibrations in our own life of what energy does and how it affects us. So really it's about manipulating that energy and understanding how we can work with that energy. And, energy is just such a scientific way of just, I guess, talking about what's really going on in the energy exchange that we have on this third dimensional plane. You know, we put energy towards something and it comes alive. We take our energy away from it and it goes away. So that's pretty much what the law of attraction is all about, really, is the focus of vibrate at a level and the world around you will begin to vibrate the energy back to you. It begins to vibrate on your level and then the energy changes. So if you're really sad, you know, you'll notice if you start the day out sad, the energy all around you. Things become gloomy. Things look different. The whole place is darker, kind of, you know. But when you're joyful, everything else lights up. Sometimes things can't even disturb you when you're happy because you're so overjoyed. The energy is blocking you away from those experiences in a way, you know. So energy just really is consciousness. I believe that the entire universe is brimming with this energy. I think the underlying vibration of the energy is love. Love is just kind of a, you know, a four-letter word, I guess, that you can assign to this energy, but it is the underpinning energy of all of the vibration. It is the intelligence that's organizing all of the stars and all of ourselves into these beautiful forms that we are able to witness.
And you know what you're witnessing right now, everyone? You're witnessing love, and you're witnessing a flow, and you're witnessing a shift, because you're listening to Max and Friends. Hey, Ronan, tell them what they're listening to. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We're talking tonight about the shift in life that you're all going to go through. Tonight is our part one series of the shifting that's going to happen in your life. Well, we're glad you're tuning in. Sky is here, and he's talking about his book, The Seven Shifts, and, of course, his website, calledtocreate.com. That's the number two, calledtocreate.com. Speaking of number two, we're going to move on to shift number two. So I hope your pencils are ready, your paper is down, or if you're on your iPad, that you're writing it there. Because shift two is here. It's called Embracing Diversity. Embrace diversity. When you are breaking down, you are also breaking through. Now, I know all you listeners tonight because I've got tweets and emails from you today. When I wrote that on Facebook, that hit a chord with you. So I know there's a lot of people who are in that zone right now where they feel that they're just breaking down. But Sky wants you to know that as you're breaking down, you're breaking through. Let us know, Sky, how.
Well, the whole world's breaking down right now. All you have to do is, you know, turn on the news or read a newspaper or even go outside your door. You'll see, like, the whole world's in a tumultuous state right now. We all are breaking down, and rightfully so. You know, sometimes when you're breaking down, the thing that we forget to realize is that maybe some of those things actually need to be broken apart. The world we live in as is right now has not done us a whole lot of good. You know, we have all the wars. We've got the poverty going on. We've got the hunger. These things need to be broken down. You know, we can't live in the world, and I can't live in a world, at least, where these things exist. So I'm really happy for the breakdowns. And that's kind of where the shift happens for me, is that when you begin to see the diversity of challenges or just a different way of living, you know, the breakdown really comes in when you look at the diversity is coming at you. It means something different is coming at you. You're not used to it. It's the unknown, you know. And so as the diversity comes towards you, we've really been taught to live in a homogenous way. We seek out, you know, the same situations. We seek out our white picket fences. We want to be with our same nations. We want to be with our same cultures because it feels comfortable. And diversity really doesn't make us feel comfortable. So when things are breaking down, we start to experience a lot of diversity. And that really scares us, and that's an important place to look into our lives. The second something scares us, it means something really important is there to look at. And so when you embrace diversity, you're basically just, you know, you're embracing the divinity, which is the variety and the spice of life. You know, life is full of diversity. We thrive with diversity. We can't live in a homogenous way. We would die, basically.
But how do we become comfortable with diversity, Sky?
Take a big deep breath. As the chaos unfolds around you, you just have to stay still. You can't get into the chaos. And you also have to trust that the chaos in natural scientific exploration has the underlying scientific, there's a thing about chaos turns into order. So you just have to witness the chaos. You don't necessarily have to participate in the chaos. Just trust that it's going to come right. Just trust that it's all going to come back into order again, because it really does. And, you know, diversity does throw a wrench into the machinery. And so maybe that's a good thing. You know, maybe it's time for you guys to look at the diversity and see, okay, maybe there's something here for me to learn. And so when you make that shift, just that conscious belief shift right away of seeing the diversity, seeing somebody across the table from you that's really different, okay, that person who really annoys you, or maybe that person who lives a different life than you that really scares the heck out of you, maybe it's just time to sit across the table silently and look at that person and see what you can learn. There might be something there that really is a treasure, you know, a diamond in the rough. And I tell you, 100% of the times in my life, the most uncomfortable situations I've been in have been the most rewarding, seriously.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there was a point where I felt I couldn't make this phone call. And it was to progress and to move forward in life and to get a job and so on and so forth. And literally, when I made the call, it's like the thing you fear the most, you know, and fear is false evidence appearing real. So the thing you fear the most is what stops you. And if you realize that you don't have fear, because if we want to get biblical with it, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And when you go forward with that and you pick up the phone and you make the action, you'll see that that thing that was holding you back that you couldn't do, that break, you know, that breakdown or that fear that you have, once you actually move forward and past it, you'll see that it never really existed. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. I was just going to say that love is all there is, okay? People, let's understand one thing. Love is all there is. Fear is just the cessation of love. It's just a place in our lives where we forgot to love. And so fear is actually a great indication of a place that we can really apply more love into our lives. The second that I get really afraid, the first thing I do is stop and say to myself, okay, this is definitely a place in my life where love is calling me. Love is calling me forward into this place. And I think that if anybody has seen Master Jesus or the Christ consciousness at work, you see that, you know, there wasn't one place where that prophet was afraid to go. He wasn't afraid to go to the prostitutes. He wasn't afraid to talk about embracing diversity. We have all kinds of ascended masters on this planet who've showed us that going into the places we fear the most, going into the darkest places of our lives with our light, is really the mastery that we can have and live.
Absolutely. Well, you know, also I want to make note to people who are listening tonight, we're embracing all religions tonight, so I'm going to let you know one
Absolutely.
Of my favorite quotes from Buddhism is that there are no mistakes in life, only lessons learned. So
Absolutely.
Take that and digest that and hold on to that and think about that. And there's no such thing as a mistake. It's a lesson learned. But speaking of lessons learned, the one thing that I've learned is that Sky is a cool guy, and I'm glad that he's here with us tonight. And he's a favorite. I love that you write this. Diversity is the wave. We are always the ocean.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. So the diversity is just basically the crests and the troughs, right? It's sort of the, there's always an equilibrium, right, in between the crest and the trough. It's the ocean. It's the connection, you know. We haven't strayed from that. We're not separate from that. Even though it seems we might be having these highs and lows or these diverse reactions to life, there's always something within us that is steady and constant. You know, there's the mistakes, but there really are no mistakes, like you said, because truly in our inner being, there can't be mistakes. You're alive. You're already here. You know, even the worst people on this planet who've caused the most suffering, you know, I just have so much love for them because they're also part of this ocean, really, in a way. They're just waves, you know. So it's really fun to just love it all in a way, for sure.
Love it all. The breakthrough is happening, everyone. Can you feel it? I feel the shift. Speaking of shift.
I feel it.
You feel the shift? I feel the shift. Hey, Ronan, what are people listening to with the shift?
LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. We're here tonight. If you're just tuning in, this is the night that your life is going to shift. We've got the author of The Seven Shifts, Sky Sheridan, here tonight. Also the creator of Call to create.com. Check that out, everyone. Speaking of shifting, we're going to shift right now into ship number 3. This is our part 1 series that your life is going to change, people. I know it will. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I trust it. I know it's going to happen. So shift 3, trust the now. From this moment, something good will come. I believe that. Sky believes that. And he's going to tell you a little bit more about trusting the now. So Sky, educate us.
Well, what better way to enjoy the gift that the present is than to enjoy it right now, right? When
that's
else
all
are
I
you
do.
Gonna enjoy it? Exactly, you know. I like to say something that's really important because I think that we've all experienced this. When we're dwelling on the past, which is all our memories and stuff, a lot of depression comes up, you know. We feel very out of control. And then when we're trying to look into the future to sort of predict what's coming, and this is not to say that we don't have visions, because visions are very important, but there's an anxiety that comes up for the future. A lot of worry comes up when we think about the future. Are things going to be the same? Am I going to have the things that I want? But, you know, we're missing the whole point. And the point of the power is right here in the present moment. It's the breath that you're taking right now. It's the words that are coming out of my mouth at this very moment. You know what I mean? It's the listening that you're doing at this very moment. All it takes is simple awareness. And it just takes a really acute awareness, which is just being able to stop for a moment and get into the moment. what am I doing right now? What am I being right now is actually more important, because I don't think we're human doings, we're human beings. And we really just have to let that unfolding of that divinity come through us and see what's going on. What do things feel like? What do they taste like? Make everything more vibrant in your life by just bringing it into the present moment and really just being aware of it. And then when you're aware, man, do you have so much more power? You're not anxious, you're not depressed, you're not afraid. You're just embracing everything that's going on right now, right now, right now. You know, it's just constantly happening. It's unfolding right now.
Now, you know, people who want to live into the future or have anxiety and worry and can't sleep at night, you know, they think tomorrow's not promised, first of all, people. So let's just keep that in mind. But speaking of that, how do we get people into the now? People are fear the now. It's interesting. People don't fear the future. Obviously, the past is the past. But people fear the now. So how do we get them into not fearing the now and this moment, Sky?
Oh, there are so many ways. Well, yoga is a really important thing for me. That helped me a lot. I lived in an ashram for about a year, and leaving my religious roots behind, which was a lot about religion, tends to be a little bit about, you know, reflecting on the past and using past traditions. And also it talks a lot about, you know, projecting into the future. It's all about, well, what will I get in the rewards of heaven if I'm good on this planet? But you know what I mean? You kind of miss the whole present moment. So yoga taught me to really be rooted in the moment by sitting in meditation, by taking conscious breathing. You know, the best thing that we could do in any moment of anger or sadness or any time we feel disconnected is to breathe. Breath work is so important, people. Like, it's just so natural, and yet we don't do it consciously enough. So all we have to do is take a big breath. I want everyone right now to take a big breath with me right now. Inhale and exhale. And there we are. We're in the present moment. Smack dab in.
We're in the now.
We're in the now. And it's just as easy as that. It's not some mystical experience, really. It's just what's unfolding right in front of your eyes. It's unfolding what's right in front of, you know, inside of your consciousness. And another thing for me that's really helped, believe it or not, has been prayer. Prayer is really important. Prayer helps you just focus on all the things that are kind of going on now, or anything that just kind of gets you into your body and into that quiet place where you are, where you can just be present, because it's so much distraction.
Be still and know. Yeah, the be still and know moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you just really, with, you know, we were talking about appreciation earlier, you really can't appreciate anything unless you're aware of what's going on right now. You can't be on a sunny beach with the sun shining on your skin and not be in the present moment. You know what I mean? When you say a thank you to that, you're instantly in the present moment. I'm experiencing the sun right now. You know what I mean? It's not yesterday. I'm not tomorrow. I'm here. I'm right now.
Well, I love how you say, if you want to change anything in your life, right now is the only chance you have.
And isn't it really, though? I mean, what other chance do you have? You certainly can't step back into the past. I can't go back 10 minutes ago. You know, that's just never going to happen.
Well, you can go back 10 minutes ago, people. If you missed any of this show, you can catch the archive and friends on LA Talk Radio. But you know what, Sky? We're going to have to push this forward, because right now I have to get into another segment of the show, because we're going to have you back next week, and we're going to talk
Beautiful.
About the remaining four shifts. So, people, if you want to change anything in your life, right now is the only chance you have. But you'll have a chance to listen to this show again afterwards, because we're going to have it in the archives there. I want you all to get the shifts down. I want you all to make your life a beautiful, loving thing that you were born to be here with. So get your life into that gear. Get that gear. If you don't like driving a car, get the shifts ready, because Sky's coming back next Sunday. We're going to have another fantastic shifting moment, I think, for everyone. So, Sky, I appreciate you for being here tonight. The first three shifts, everyone, of part one of Shifting Your Life have taken place. Next week, we're going to have the remaining four shifts. If we have time, we might even have to do two next week. And then, Sky, we might have to have you back on. But you know what, everyone?
I'll come back whenever you want.
You can go to calltocreate.com. The book is The Seven Shifts. Sky is the man. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to talk to you after the show. And until then, Sky.
Thank you, Mac.
Let your little light shine. Everyone, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. When we're back, Hunter Cross, Nico Bloom, and Thelonious Monk are here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
are going to drop Hot Topics on Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. Did you guys feel the shift? Well, we're shifting now back into politics because that's what we're going to do here on Max and Friends, because we've got 1 year, everybody, to vote, and we've got 1 year to figure out who we love. So let's talk about the latest, because we got Felonious Monk here, Hunter Cross, and our girl Nicole Bloom. But before we get to them, let's hear what Hunter – let's hear what Hunter is going to have to say, and what Felonious is going to say, and what Nicole is going to have to say about our boy Kane, because he said something that kind of like got me – I took that finger of mine and started scratching my head like, boy, you so crazy. And somebody wanted to have his baby. She was a big, big German girl, and he didn't understand that 999 meant no, 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 don't touch me. And now she's kind of like busting him for sexual harassment. It's kind of like, you remember back in the day, we had – let's talk about that after. Let's talk about Kane, play Kane, and what he said stupidly about China.
China. Yes. Do you view China as a potential military threat to the United States?
I do view China as a potential military threat to the United
States.
And
what could you do as president to head that off?
My China strategy is quite simply outgrow China. It gets back to economics. China has a $6 trillion economy, and they're growing at approximately 10%. We have a $14 trillion economy, much bigger, but we're growing at an anemic 1.6%. When we get our economy growing back at the rate of 5 or 6% that it has the ability to do, we will outgrow China. And secondly, we already have superiority in terms of our military capability. And I plan to get away from making cutting our defense a priority and make investing in our military capability a priority, going back to my statement, peace through strength and clarity. So yes, they're a military threat. They've indicated that they're trying to develop nuclear capability, and they want to develop more aircraft carriers like we have. So yes, we have to consider them a military threat.
Well, amen, Dave. Felonious, what do you have to say to this?
In the interest of time, let's just start by saying we could do, you get a dartboard, throw darts at it every week and figure out what we're going to talk about that Kamen spoke about this week. Last week, we talked about Becky Stan, you know, we got the sexual harassment case. We've got his
that's like the
views
Clarence
on
Thomas.
Abortion.
Clarence Thomas is like the sexual harassment. I think they're brothers. But let's talk about China, Felonious. What do you have to say about him in this allegedly?
Here's what bothers me. I'm going to almost give him a pass on Uzbekistan because he says they were insignificant. And that's probably a horrible choice of words, but let's just acknowledge that maybe they're not a huge threat. But you have to have a position on China. You have to understand who and what China is. And he's right, it is about economics. But if it's about economics and they're your major threat, you need to know the ins and outs of that country. We're involved in wars right now, and you're about to become, or you want to become, the president of this country, and you have no idea what the capabilities are of our main rivals who have had nuclear capabilities for 47 years. I don't think that's something that you just overlook, and the fact that we still have apologists saying, no, he's still a good guy, he just misspoke, that's not something that I'm okay with you misspeaking about, because if you misspeak in front of the wrong people at the wrong meeting, at a G20 summit, somewhere where I don't want you to misspeak and it's taken and blown out of proportion, we all lose. I just think that we're falling in love with the guy's words again, or we're falling in love with the impression we have of a guy again, and we're not really paying attention to the fact that he has no idea how to run a country.
Mm-hmm. Hunter, now listen, you and I spoke today about this. Obviously, China's not a threat to us nuclearly, more of North Korea. But Hunter, what do you have to say about our buddy Kane?
Well, he what he exhibited was a complete lack of understanding of economics. China's growth is fueled by a manufacturing sector that's growing and an enormous growth of their middle class, because the people who are working in those factories and what have you are earning more money than they ever were before. They have a growing middle class who's starting to buy more and more goods. So their economy is expanding because they have people who've had nothing who are starting to have something. In America, we have no growing manufacturing sector. We have it's shrunken, and our middle class is almost gone. So to expect America to start growing at a rate of 5%, which somehow he thinks is going to beat 17%, I'm not sure how that math works. But nevertheless, assuming we could grow at 5%, Where's that growth coming from? Is it coming from manufacturing that these companies are doing somewhere else? He just talks about that we can get back to growth with no plan on how that's possible. He's just one of those politicians who talks in platitudes like Michelle Bachmann and so many of the other ones who just simply say, we want jobs, we need growth, we need strength. They talk in these buzzwords, these sound bites that sound good, but he doesn't understand economics. Where's our growing economy going to come from? What is going to grow to make this economy expand at the rate of 5%?
Well, I don't know, but what I do know is that Nicole Bloom sounds good. So, Nicole, what do you think about this Herman Cain and China?
Well, I want to say something. I think that we know where the growth is going to come from. Obama's jobs bill to tax the 1%, get money from them. But I do think that, you know, it's the candidates, Democratic, Republican, the candidates that always come to the forefront in the last election and now, it's interesting that I think there's over 300 million people in this country, and this is the quality of people on both sides, both parties, that come to the forefront to run. And I think that when somebody does make a statement, everybody attacks that candidate, whether they're Democratic or Republican. There's always someone quick to attack them, whether it be another candidate like Michelle Bachmann, but they themselves don't have a plan. I agree with Hunter that someone needs to come with a plan. Talk is great. I can create more jobs. Where are you going to create them from? How are you going to stimulate the economy? I agree that there needs to be a plan of attack. But everyone, you know, everyone makes a statement. Everybody's quick to attack it. I think a sad part of politics is when your own party attacks you. I mean, Michelle Bachmann has absolutely zero chance of ever making it past where she is in politics. And for her to attack the Republican Party and attack a candidate, it's just insulting, and it's insulting to the party. I just think that...
You know what, Nikki? Hold that thought. Hey, Ronan, let's play what Michelle Bachmann had to say.
I think the real problem is how inconsistent he's been on issues. Now, this is significant. There's been 10 instances in the last couple of months where he's changed his positions on significant issues. On the issue of pro-life, he said government shouldn't intervene to protect life. And then he switched and said, no, they should. He said he wasn't for the marriage amendment. Then he said he was. Then he said that he would allow the terrorists to go out of Guantanamo Bay. In other words, he would release the terrorists. Then he changed his mind and said no. He just said this week that China was developing a nuclear weapon. They've had one for 47 years. He said that 999 would be equitable and fair. Then he changed it to 909 after people called out his errors. So this has gone on with at least 10 different issues. The same, there's a change on Israel. On 10 different issues,
Nikki, he's been inconsistent. I agree with you. Michelle is attacking the wrong person, but why do you think she's doing that, Nikki?
Well, I think it would be easy probably if one of the candidates wanted to find 10 things on her. I could just remember back to one of the very early debates when they asked her about her relationship with her husband, and she actually went into a whole in-depth answer. And as a woman, they asked her, it was a very, I don't remember exactly, but it was a very chauvinist question that one of the male newsmen asked her about something with her relationship with her husband. And I felt that she should have just answered, you know, said, that's what you don't ask the man about their wives. Don't ask me about my relationship with my husband. You could find 10 things any one of them says wrong, whether it's a Democrat, it's a Republican. You could pick apart anybody. I just think it's wrong to attack your party. She knows she has no chance.
I agree with you. Hunter, what do you think about Michelle Bachmann saying he's inconsistent?
Well, she's consistently batshit. At least we know that everything that comes out of her mouth is completely insane. She hasn't said anything that makes any sense at all. She during the debate where she was talking about the vaccinations and how she thought Rick Perry was the devil because he was urging children to have vaccinations. You can barely get your kid into public school without having forced vaccinations in almost every state, if not every state in the United States. Even in Michelle Bachmann's state, they make kids get vaccinated to go to school. She talk about inconsistent. She thought that one particular vaccine was the most horrible thing ever because it was a mandate. Meanwhile, what about the other vaccines?
You know, speaking of mandates, her husband's going to be on mandate. But listen, Felonious, what do you think about this inconsistency?
A couple of things. There's a difference between waffling on an issue and being inconsistent. And I think she poorly chose her words there. He has waffled. And, of course, even on, especially on the abortion issue, he has no clear point, has no clue what's going on in China. But I'm more concerned about a person who's inconsistent in their stances consistently. She's consistently inconsistent. She supports traditional family life. These are statements she's made, and then turns around and votes no for four weeks of paid parental leave for federal employees. She's voted no on several issues that would benefit families, would benefit children, including, she voted no on regulating tobacco. It's not a health issue. She voted yes on repealing prevention and public health slush funds, on the Ryan budget, Medicare choice tax spending. Listen, there's nothing about Michelle Bachmann that makes sense. Nothing at all. What concerns me more than any of that, though, is that Herman Cain, with all of his – and the inconsistencies don't bother me as much as the obviously uninformed positions that he has. Inconsistent, as you grow, as you learn more information, you change your position. Sometimes that happens in life. But this is a guy
who has exhibited – Well, he went from 999 to 909. No, you know, he went from 999
to 909. The 999 to 909, I don't see that as a huge shift because even when they said the 999 was coming out, they were going to allow – some opportunities for certain groups to be excluded from that. And his later explanation that the poor was going to be the group that was excluded, I'll buy that a little bit. But isn't that an entitlement? Isn't that still an entitlement which is completely against what the Republicans believe in? So, you know, that's more of an inconsistency to me that you are for giving an entitlement to a group that the rest of your party seems to be tired of giving entitlements to. I just don't see him as being a viable candidate, not just to beat Obama, but to run this country. If Obama was on his second term and was almost over, I still wouldn't see this guy as the guy that I want to vote for. I don't see it. And Michelle Bachmann is a sideshow. She's Sarah Palin light. Get her out of there. You know, let the real guys get in there who have some. And I don't want to say guys. Let the real people get in there who have some ideas that can benefit this country and that have some plans in place. Again, here's Herman Cain, platitudes. I've got a lot of really cute things to say. I have no way of implementing them. Get them out of there, man. Get all of these guys who speak well. We don't need a preacher. We need someone who can get in there and get things done.
Hey,
stop ignoring guys like Ron Paul.
Hunter, you have 30 seconds to
I don't have any problem with inconsistencies either. These policies morph over time, and that's kind of normal how that works. The inconsistencies don't bother me at all. When they go after each other like this, what it does is it helps us understand more about the people. So what we've learned about Herman Cain is that he'll say anything he needs to say at any given moment, and that's what we're learning by this. Just like when we asked Sarah Palin what newspapers she read, that wasn't really intended to embarrass her. That was intended to find out more about her. Where does she get her information? What are her policies based on? Who is she reading? So we kind of understand her point of view. So that's the same thing with Herman Cain. They're asking him the hard questions now.
All right, hold on. I got to stop you right there. They're going to ask him the hard questions, and he's going to come up with some ridiculous answer that we're going to play next Sunday. Nikki, you're closing the show. You have 10 seconds to say something. What do you want to say?
I just think that the parties need to pull together and not attack each other and come together because they, for the most part, the Democrats believe in the same cause. The Republicans believe in their own same cause. Work together instead of throwing everyone apart.
I believe that next Sunday we're going to be here on Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Felonious, for being here tonight. Next Sunday we're going to have some other stuff to talk about. I thank my special guest, Sky Sheridan, calltocreate.com, The Seven Shifts, the book you're going to buy, because hopefully we can shift into a new millennium, into a new dimension, into a new place. Well, that's going to be next Sunday. So until then, enjoy the now, and everyone, take life to the max. CBS News is up next. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and you're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Good night, everyone. Take life to the max.